Welcome to Transformation, the podcast dedicated to empowering you with the tools to transform your life. Learn the art of effective communication, master the skills of conflict resolution, and uncover practical solutions for building stronger marriages and relationships. Hosted by Deborah Burton, a seasoned professional consultant with a proven track record of over 20 years. In just a few minutes, she'll give you the keys to know better so you can do better. Let the journey of your personal transformation begin.
Transformation. Marriage. Tip number 11, resolving root issues. Bright Knops You. Hello to you all. Just an update. Transformation, Deborah Burton, DEBRABURTON, for marriage transformation, conflict resolution, communication solutions, and relationship issues. We'll have a new session for you every other week on Wednesdays. If you subscribe, then you should get a reminder for every new episode, and then you will also have a library from past episodes to choose from. Also, my podcast, Solutions from Scripture, Deborah Burton, comes out every other week on Wednesdays. Subscribe to this podcast, and you will have a large list of all kinds of topics to choose from, such as the Tongue series, Overcoming Personal Issues, A Person After God's Heart, and the new one, Real Life in the Real World, Devotions from the Book of Psalms. Presently, as of April 4th, 2025, you will have over 50 sessions to choose from. In this way, you will have a new session every week that alternates between the two different podcasts. Okay, let's get started with Resolving Root Issues, Bright Knops You. It's difficult to transform a marriage where there are unresolved root issues because this can cause continual tension. It creates a lot of confusion and chaos that builds over time because the issues have not been dealt with. We might think we can ignore them or they have no longer effect on us, but many times, this is absolutely not true. Unresolved root issues can stay in the memory. The brain is amazing. Those memories either help us with life lessons or they cause all kinds of unhealthy perspectives and reactions that hurt our marriage. Many times, we don't realize the past is still affecting us in the present in a negative way, and then it affects our relationship in a negative way. It can become a vicious cycle if we don't get off the crazy merry-go-round. If we don't resolve our own personal root issues, then this can become overwhelming to where a couple has no hope and can eventually give up. Those roots can grow into ugly weeds that have terrible thorns that continually poke at our life partner. Those roots can take over a good garden or the potential of a great marriage when they keep popping back up. The only way to resolve this is to actually pull out those roots, get rid of them, so good seeds are planted in place of them. Then a strong, secure, healthy marriage can grow and be maintained. It's important for all of us to know what our personal root issues are. Then it can become clear on how to specifically resolve them in order to have long-lasting, beneficial results. If we don't do that, the roots can continue to grow as we add more hurt and unhealthiness to our marriage. Then there is little room left for what is lovely and loving between the two spouses. Let's talk about Bright Knops You. By the time we are married, all of us have encountered some type of hardship and heartache at various levels because of different circumstances and people. Some situations are more serious and devastating than others. Nonetheless, we don't want harmful residual effects. Whatever the level, whatever the cause, whomever was involved, it's very important. We all deal with how we have handled past issues that affect us in a negative way, because most of the time we bring that into our marriage relationship. Maybe we have a blind spot to it, but normally our spouse is aware of it. The idea behind a godly marriage is to build our spouse so our marriage is beneficial and beautiful. Having bright nops you in our life that is not dealt with makes this near impossible. Therefore, if wise godly counsel or advice on any of these issues are needed to get unstuck so the marriage can move forward, then please, by all means, make this a top priority before there are layers and layers of unresolved issues that are harder and harder to deal with. If those layers are there, it is never too late to not allow them to harm your relationship continually. People must have the want to in order to not continue in a useless, harmful cycle. Then the marriage can have beneficial, long-lasting change. The point is to be aware of them, address them, fix them, and move on as you've learned from them instead of allowing them to take over your life and relationships in a destructive way. Let's briefly define what bright nops you are. There is no way in this short a time I can go over each issue to the depth that might be needed. Nonetheless, this is something to get you started at assessing and addressing and then overcoming. In my consulting office, it can take several appointments to pull out the deep weeds of unresolved issues, but they definitely can be pulled out so something much better can be put in their place. Then what was harmful and unhealthy can be uprooted so that the marriage can grow into something totally different and far better. Again, if you can find a mentor, friend, or counselor to help your specifics, please seek one out and don't quit until you have learned valuable lessons from your personal root issues. Overcome that which seeks to overcome you and your marriage. What is the meaning of bright nops you? B is bitterness. R is rebellion. I is immorality. G is generational. H is hypocrisy. T is temporal values. N is negativity. O is occult. P is pride. S is sinful habits. U, not Y-O-U as in you, but just the letter U, is unwillingness. There is a total of 11 root issues that can cause ongoing conflict and confusion that is destructive to a marriage. Each of these create different types of problems in relationships, but they all cause their own mixture of messiness that can poison a marriage. We don't want any of these to crowd out the potential of a great marriage, and therefore, this is why we deal with them instead of denying them, minimizing them, or rationalizing them. None of this will help, but will rather maximize the problems within a marriage. Remember, these are root issues you struggle with most and more often. Most of us know what they are, but sometimes they are blind spots to us. Others know, but we can't see them or refuse to see them. Ask someone you trust that knows you very well and values you to point these out to you, and then be willing to consider that these may very well be your issues that are keeping you from having healthy perspectives, and good people skills that build relationships instead of tear them down. Let's briefly go over these so you have a baseline to think about. B, bitterness. Bitterness can be caused by unforgiveness from past heartache and hardship. It festers because there is a refusal to release the anger and hurt from harmful experiences or not knowing how to do so. Bitterness is a persistent state of mind, emotions, and reactions that poisons relationships. Bitterness is something we take out on either innocent people that had nothing to do with what harmed or hurt us, or it can be people in our present that have deeply offended us. Either way, we become unforgiving, harsh, angry, retaliatory, and resentful, which absolutely does not help any relationship. Bitterness creates a hardened heart and will harm everyone around us because bitterness devalues people. We are warned against harboring bitterness as it is a sin that can lead to much harm in relationships and spiritual defilement against God. Hebrews 12, verse 5, see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. The path of overcoming bitterness is to intentionally choose to let go of the anger and resentment and choose to forgive so we don't hurt others with our bitterness. We pray God will give us the strength to do so and continually work at this until we are set free from it. Ephesians 4, verses 31 through 32 encourages believers to put away all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and abusive language, as well as all malice, and to be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ forgave you. R is for rebellion. Rebellion is defined as disobedience to God and authority. It is a lack of surrendering to God's ways and respecting those who are in leadership or authority. It is a prideful refusal, an outright or inward opposition to what is right in the eyes of God. God is not wanting us to have any kind of rebellion where a person thinks they are their own God and therefore they don't decide to do what is right in the sight of God. Lucifer was in a perfect place called heaven and he still rebelled against God because he wanted to decide for himself what was good and evil. And he wanted to do things his way. He didn't want to surrender to God's wisdom. So even in a perfect place, there can be rebellion. Rebellion always leads to pain, brokenness, disappointment, and heartache because of the eventual consequences. Nothing good comes out of opposing God's ways and going against them. Looking for ways to be humble and submitting to God is crucial to overcoming rebellion. 2 Peter 2, verse 4, for if God did not spare angels when they sinned or rebelled, but cast them into hell and committed them to chains of gloomy darkness to be kept until the judgment. This shows how serious rebellion is to God. Psalm 107, verse 11, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. Luke 6, 46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? I is for immorality. Sexual immorality generally refers to any sexual activity outside of a biblically defined marriage relationship. The concept of sexual immorality is rooted in the Bible, where God's view of sexuality is presented as holy and pure in His sight. It's not what the culture or the times in our day and age define as what is acceptable and no big deal, what is perceived as harmless, as though we can and should bend God's rules however we want, in what ways we want, and with whomever we want. God has made it very clear what is acceptable and good in His sight by His wisdom and what is not. There are many clear examples of what God considers to be sexual immorality and impurity. These lead to all kinds of problems that hurt many people in the long run. For example, premarital sex, engaging in any sexual activity before marriage, adultery, having sexual relations of any kind with someone other than one's spouse. And there are others clearly defined in Scripture. Many of these include sexual exploitation that devalues others. God knows what He is talking about when He warns us not to participate in what He has told us not to engage in, or to even lust after by what we are looking at. For further study on this issue, go to openbible.info. Go to the Topical Bible on the top tab and press, then scroll down just a bit until you see the rectangular box, Find Out. Type in sexual immorality, sexual sin, or whatever keywords you want. All kinds of scriptures regarding this issue will show you God's viewpoint on this issue. You can also go to gotquestions.org. Simply type in your question or keywords, and you will have a simple to understand quick study on this topic. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18, flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 3 through 5, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God. Ephesians 5, verse 3, but sexual immorality in all impurity or covetousness must not be even named among you, as is proper among saints. Galatians 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality. G is for generational. Generational or environmental baggage is defined as ongoing negative behavior or patterns that cause harm to oneself or others. Generational means having a continual hold on a person in such a way that it becomes a lifestyle. Perhaps this could include alcohol or drug abuse, being abusive to others, and then we pass that legacy on in our own family. It's an ongoing cycle of unhealthy thinking, talking, or actions that cause dysfunction or the inability to function in a mature, beneficial way, which we should and can be able to function in a godly way regardless of parenting, our past, or our environment. We are not defined by our past, but rather we learn from our past. We let go of what is bad and gather what is good. Perhaps there were people in our past that gave bad examples in the environment we were in, but we can let go of it and not continue in it. Instead, we make better patterns in the environment we are in today, make our life, our behavior, our responses healthy and helpful, instead of continuing in the dysfunction, the harm, the uselessness, the negativity of it. Create a brand new slate instead of drawing continually on the broken one. 2 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Philippians 3, verses 12 through 14. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it on my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. H is for hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is putting on a show with insincerity of mixed messages. It is saying one thing and doing another thing. It is acting like we believe something, but we don't show it with our actions. Hypocrisy is pretending. It is contradictory to what we say. The words don't line up with the actions. It is failing to practice what you preach. It's an outwardly righteousness, but an inward corruption. It's judging others for the very sins we ourselves commit and act like we are better. It damages relationships because trust is broken by the lack of being genuine. Hypocrisy dishonors God by pretending to love him while disobeying him without repentance. To avoid being a hypocrite, we must be a person of our word and live by our convictions. Say what you mean and mean what you say, but also do what you say, so to speak. James 1, verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Matthew 7, verse 5, you hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Matthew 15, verses 7 through 9, you hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. T is temporal values. Having temporal values is when we put the world and the things of this world before our walk with God, our relationships, and our responsibilities. Temporal values are a focus on the temporal instead of the spiritual or what truly matters in this lifetime. It's a concentration on having riches, power, education, beauty, or anything that builds oneself up while putting down who and what is truly most important. It's not that being rich or having a great job or being in a position of power or having a fantastic education or good looks is wrong. It's what we do with any of those that can become detrimental and destructive in many different ways. Do we use any of these for the glory of God or for the glory of oneself? Do we have any of these to help others or to impress them with our greatness? Is God what we love most or ourselves? Are others more important or have we put ourselves above them? 1 John 2, verse 16, for all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes, the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18, so we fix our gaze not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporal, and what is unseen is eternal. 1 John 2, verse 17, and the world is passing away along with all its desires, and whoever does the will of God abides forever. N is negativity. Negativity is a mindset that is discouraging and defeating to oneself and others. It's seen through the lens of bad, failure, unhappiness, disappointment, not good enough, or ungratefulness. The focus is on doubt, fear, anxiety, worry, guilt, despair, discouragement. It's when the mind and thoughts continually revolve and recycle around what is useless. Anyone can experience thoughts and feelings of negativity at different times over various issues in life, but when negativity stays stuck, then it becomes harmful to oneself and relationships. We must deal with our negative thoughts because our negative thoughts can rule every other area of our life, such as our words, actions, behavior, and reactions in a detrimental way. Therefore, it is essential we replace negative, useless thoughts with thinking patterns that help us instead of hinder us and our relationships. Romans 12, verse 2, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Philippians 4, verse 8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Colossians 3, verse 2, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. O is occult. Occult practices are activities that involve seeking knowledge or power through supernatural means outside the Christian faith and its teachings. Many times, Christians minimize the seriousness of playing in Satan's playground because they don't see the harm or the eventual negative outcome. Satan and any of his ways are never to be toyed with or minimized. It may look fun and harmless, just pretending or fantasy, or all kinds of excuses and reasons to think it's okay, but Satan is God's enemy. How is any good going to come out of dabbling in the deceptive ways of Satan? The danger of toying with even seemingly harmless things such as meditation and emptying the mind so we can hear God talking to us is not taking seriously that there are also demon spirits that can speak even good but deceptive things into the minds of those who experiment with this, and then those people get deeper and deeper into what they accept. For example, it is never of God, even if it has the word Christian attached to it, such as Christian mysticism. Christians need to be discerning of what seems to be just fine, but in reality is really bad. Deuteronomy 18, verses 10 through 12. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, one who uses divination, one who practices witchcraft, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who casts a spell, or a medium, or a spiritist, or anyone who calls upon the dead. For whoever does these things is detestable to the Lord. And because of these detestable things, the Lord your God will drive them out before you. So here's just a few examples of occult practices. Divination, trying to predict the future, or wanting to know the future, even in a fun way, through methods such as reading tea leaves, palm reading, tarot card reading, fortune telling, astrology, Ouija boards, both black and white magic, attempting to manipulate supernatural forces or spirits to achieve desired outcomes. Witchcraft, black magic, white magic, Wicca, engaging in rituals or spells believed to have supernatural power. Necromancy, contacting the spirits of the dead. channeling, claiming to communicate with spirits or entities, and other practices that are against the teachings of the Bible. They are all severely forbidden. None of these are harmless practices. They are controlled by demons who offer just enough information to keep their victims intrigued while exerting more and more control over gullible minds and hearts. This is extremely destructive to relationships and marriages for obvious reasons. God strictly warned the Israelites, his people, against being involved with the occult, Leviticus 20, verse 6. As for the person who turns to mediums and to spiritists to play the harlot after them, I will also set my face against that person and will cut him off from among his people. The New Testament says that the rise of interest in the occult is a sign of the end of the age, 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. But the Spirit explicitly states that in latter times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. P is pride. Pride is an excessive view of self-importance, self-centeredness, self-focus, with an arrogant, know-it-all, superior attitude. Pride is a refusal to acknowledge God and to surrender to Him and His ways. Instead, it is a focus on oneself as their own little God because they know better than God and anyone else. Therefore, they judge God. They push others down as they stomp on them with their arrogance. Ultimately, pride can be defined as elevating one's opinions and thoughts above God's authoritative word and thus living their life in opposition to it or against it in the way of not doing what it says and finding their own way to do what they want. Some view pride as the root of all sin because without humility toward God and others, those with pride will only worship themselves. This is against two of the greatest commandments given by Jesus, to love God with all our heart and to love others the way God wants us to. Instead, they love themselves far above God and others. It's next to impossible to have a good relationship or marriage with a person that is bound up in pride. If we don't willingly humble ourselves, in time, God will humble us. Proverbs 13, verse 10, by pride comes strife and contention. Romans 12, verse 3, for through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Proverbs 16, verse 18, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. 1 Peter 5, verse 5, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. S is sinful habits. Sinful habits are habitual sins or an unrepentance to stop a sin. Sinful habits have become a lifestyle without a willingness to change. Even though they know it is wrong and their conscience tells them so, their desire to fulfill their own human worldly wants is far higher than pleasing God or their spouse. It's important to identify sins that are ongoing, such as laziness, lying, stealing, gluttony, greed, gossip, envy, covetousness, and a whole host of more. Sinful habits that are an ongoing lifestyle with no remorse or desire to do better can divide a marriage because there's so much exasperation over choices that hurt relationships or the individual that chooses to continue in them. 1 Peter 2:11, dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from all sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Romans 6, verse 19, I am saying this so that just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, now you must present them as slaves to righteousness for holiness. Galatians 5, verses 16 through 21, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. The two are opposed to each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, outbreaks of anger, and the like. I warn you, as I have been warning you, that those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. We are all going to fail at times and give in to sin, but we get back up, confess our sin, and ask God to help us to not continue in that sin. You is unwillingness. Unwillingness is defined as a person's refusal to change. Unwillingness is an opposition to doing better. It usually comes with all kinds of excuses of why a change is not needed or why they don't need to change. Unwillingness is an uncaring attitude that is centered on oneself instead of focusing on not hurting or harming others because of their ongoing choices. It's minimizing what they should be maximizing. It's a resistance to do better for whatever reason they have. It has been said, people do what they want to do, nothing more and nothing less. It's all about what they want. Simply put, they don't want to do it, period and end of story. Anyone can change for the better, so they can become better and do better, but they have to have the willingness to do so. One of the best sayings for marriage that people love to hear is, I will do whatever it takes to make things better. Let's go over quickly how to successfully deal or start to deal with root issues. Now, I'm discussing these in a very simple way for the sake of time. Nonetheless, each spouse within any marriage can work at overcoming root issues. Don't stay stuck and suffocate the success of your marriage. Instead, get rid of the chains that weigh you down so you can actually enjoy your spouse in a better relationship. 6 ways to rip out root issues. First, what root issues do you struggle with the most? Choose 3 that are your major ones. Concentrate on conquering these first. Second, when do you struggle with these the most? During times of stress, conflict, when you are around a family member? Third, who triggers those root issues in you? Who in the past perhaps had a part in causing these root issues? And then who in the present, knowingly or unknowingly, presses those buttons? Fourth, where are you at when you struggle the most with your root issues? At church? During the holidays? When you are alone? Fifth, why are you struggling with these particular root issues? Many times, past experiences, past relationships, and past hardships create the aftermath of root issues. For example, unresolved hurt or ongoing conflict with a family member can cause anger and bitterness if it's not resolved, and then it's taken out on the spouse. 6, how can you pull up these root issues, overcome them, resolve them, instead of allowing them to recycle and keep you and your marriage stuck in a hurtful, harmful, negative way. The key is don't stay stuck in the quicksand. You've got to get out of it. Find solutions. Learn lessons from your root issues. Then you will know how to respond instead of reacting in your marriage. Reacting tears down, responding builds up. It takes time, effort, commitment, consistency, a lot of prayer and patience, wise friends and counsel, and your willingness to turn the root issues into positive life lessons. Then you will have the ability to have great people skills to build a far better marriage. Your marriage can truly grow into something better when the bad roots are pulled out. Thanks for listening. I sure hope this was helpful and you will start your journey on getting the bad roots out so you can put the good ones in to your marriage.